Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds Quarantine Check-In. I'm Dan.
And I'm Sheila.
And it's over.
It's over.
This is a fun fact. We normally record these shows on Fridays at the end of the week. And so I call up Sheila on Thursday. I'm like, you want to record tomorrow? And she's like, we're not going to know who the president is tomorrow. That's what she told me. She told me, we're not going to know who the president is tomorrow, and I cannot do another one of these where we don't know who the president is.
That's basically it, yeah.
You can't deal with that level of stress.
Nope.
Doing another one of these while not knowing who the president is. So I'm like, okay, hopefully we'll know Saturday. Well, guess what? It's Saturday, and 2.5 hours before we started recording this, it was called by every network all at once. Donald Trump's gone. Joe Biden's the president.
11:25.
Oh, okay. So four hours ago, exactly.
11:25.
Oh,
you know where you were when Biden became the president-elect of the United States?
I was asleep. But that's the point. It's so funny because in addition to all this nonsense, we then had I think the funniest thing that happened was that literally Rudy Giuliani was giving a speech about how they're going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, blah, 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 blah. And then one of the reporters yells from the crowd, they called it. And he's like, who called it? And I'm like, all of the networks called it. And then he's like, oh, so TV gets to decide who the president is? No, the courts decide who the president is. That's Rudy Giuliani's insane. Oh, no, he's the worst. His insane new position is that the courts get to pick the president. Yeah, they're nightmares and they're done. And hopefully they'll go to jail soon.
Well, I don't even care. Like, it's.
Hey, I care for one simple reason, right? And that is because they didn't put Nixon in jail, we had to deal with Trump. Because they didn't put Nixon in jail the way they should have. If they put Nixon in jail, America would be a much stabler country right now. But they didn't put Nixon in jail because they're like, we've got to heal the country. But what heal the country means is scumbag Republicans will just get even worse next time. Because they know there's no consequences for their actions. And Trump is, if nothing else, a statement of what it looks like if you let people off of the, if you tell people that there are no consequences for their actions. Like, that's what Trump is. He is the lack of consequence personified, right? Because his whole life, he's never suffered any consequences for anything.
There's always been somebody to pick up.
Come in and pick up the pieces. Every single time. Well, this time he actually suffered consequences.
Well, it's going to be, he went golfing today.
I know. How funny was that? That he found out on the golf course that he lost the election.
Well, the thing is that that his base, I mean, his staff decided it would be better if he was someplace else. Because it's not as if, it wasn't sort of necessarily his choice for him to be on the golf course. They all thought it would be a better idea because what's he going to hear? Have you seen what's going on in the Black Lives
Matter giant crowd outside the White House cheering happy. Now that Trump is gone?
Happy.
Yeah, he would not have dealt with that well. You're completely right.
You know? I think that's what they, because they figured they're going to have to talk him into this.
Yeah, like
the transition stuff.
It's so funny, right? That they have to explain to him, no, you can't, like, it's over. You can't keep being president. You have to go. And he's not going to want to hear that.
Well, yeah, no. And he's not going to have Joe Biden in. He's not going to invite him in and all this sort of stuff. Of course, he's already said all that stuff.
No, he's a whiny baby and a sore loser. I mean, of course, he was never going to have the decent human things.
No, do the decent
how bad is it going to be in the Trump White House when literally, like, Monday, Biden's transition team shows up?
Well, they're not going to.
Of course they are. Monday.
Well, what they what they're doing, and this is probably just as bad or worse.
Yeah.
They don't expect Trump to do any of the normal things. It's that simple.
Yeah.
They just figure he won't, as far as I can tell. No, what they're going to do is announce their coronavirus task force.
Oh, damn.
On Monday.
That's going to be pretty embarrassing.
Because somebody said, well, do you expect, you know, anybody at the White House to cooperate?
And they're okay. Like, no.
And the idea is sort of no. No, somebody said, well, yeah, probably Deborah Burke and Fauci will, if Burke's, yeah, and Fauci will cooperate with the new task force. But it's some very responsible people, like the Surgeon General that was the Surgeon General under Obama.
Yeah.
And somebody else, and somebody from, I don't know, which Ivy League university.
There's a couple of sane people working on the plague who will, of course, go to the new president and say, all right, how are we going to keep dealing with this plague?
Well, actually, he's been talking with them for quite a while now, as far as I knew this. He's been having task force briefings for a long time now. So, but yeah, I know. I mean, it was just like, I can finally go to sleep.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I woke up at, like, I didn't get to sleep until about 12:15 last night. I thought, you got to turn the TV off. You got to stop this.
Yeah.
And go to sleep. So I go to sleep. I wake up at like 5:10 and think, well, okay, I'll just get up for a sec and go back to bed. So I tried to go back to bed. No way.
Nope.
So
nope,
I just came down at 5:40. I turned on the TV and I just, you know, and then it turned out that John Berman and Allison Camerota, they brought them in to do the Saturday morning show, the A-team, as they would call it. That's why they get paid the big bucks. I mean, I don't know how, no, for sure. I mean, I don't know how people like Dana Bash and Jake Tapper and John King, like you could just tell everybody was just like me. Not getting enough sleep. I saw Biden, it was yesterday, right? And I've had a rough week myself, and I haven't been sleeping well to boot because I've been working all these extra hours that I don't normally work.
Yeah.
And they're in the morning, and normally I work at night, so it's been a problem anyway. And then we have this going on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You know, since Tuesday was a very depressing evening, of course. We all sort of forgot about the everything was mail-in and stuff like that, but never mind, that's okay. And then so I didn't have enough, but I watched Biden
the speech last night
walking. No, oh, I did see the speech last night.
He was beautiful last night.
Yeah, like, it was. Oh yeah, no, he's still doing the good stuff. And what happened was but I watched him. He wasn't talking to anybody, but I watched him walking out of his house with his wife, and I watched him walk, and I'm going, oh yeah, so you're as tired as I am, huh?
I can imagine.
You're walking just like me. Yeah, I can still walk, and I'm fine, and there's nothing really wrong with me, but oh God, do I really want to sleep?
I just want to lie down.
I just want to lie down and go to sleep. But when I do, I keep worrying about what's happening. And then you keep watching it, right? And it was just one thing, you know, when you're watching these little changes. Georgia was that's going to be interesting if in the end Georgia does flip.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, of course, because it looks like they've lost some in the House.
Yeah, they lost like 2 seats in the House.
Because as somebody said, the one thing Donald Trump did do for his party was bring all these people out.
Yeah, he did. He got great voter turnout, and no one can deny that.
No, he got great. Well, he's got the second highest numbers for anyone running for president, right? Yeah. Voter numbers, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, over 150 million people voted.
Yeah, it's shocking voting. You know? It's incredible.
Well, what the turnout they said, they got. I mean, the thing is, too, is that because of the coronavirus, all these states who have refused to allow people to vote by mail or to vote, you know, however mm-hmm. early, all of a sudden could do that.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, this just proves that you can do this, that people will vote if they have more options to vote. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like if you defeat Republican voter suppression, people will actually come out and vote.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Like, one of the two sides of the political aisle hates democracy, but they shouldn't, because they got plenty of more supporters out there, too.
Yeah.
It's only because, like, remember, Trump only lost because he's they're afraid, but Trump only lost because he's a historically unpopular president. Like, he had the easiest path to victory, maybe in the history of American politics, because he had 3 terrible years of being a buffoon, and then a plague hit. And all he had to do was deal with the plague in a responsible manner, the way every other country on earth was doing. And he would have won re-election. He would have slid into re-election with no trouble at all.
I know. But that's scary.
It's terrifying, but he would have. Look at how Doug Ford is getting talked about right now in Ontario.
Yeah.
He's screwing it up now, but he had 8 months of people I know and like talking kindly about Doug Ford. And that's what Trump would have had if he just, all he had to do was not politicize a plague.
Not politicize mask wearing.
Yes, not politicize. Putting on a goddamn mask. That's all he had to do. And he couldn't even do that.
I mean, no, it was amazing. As is, and of course, this idea of being able to call the election on election day when all of his people, as somebody said, he probably lost a lot of his own voters because he kept telling people not to trust the mail.
Yeah.
And his people believe him.
Oh, yeah.
The Democrats didn't believe him.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
But his people did, and so they all showed up on the day.
Yeah, or they didn't bother showing up on the day.
Yeah, that's true. Some of them didn't bother showing up.
Well, no, because that's what seems to be what happened, right? That.
Well, I mean, it's historic turnout on both sides. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So people did show up. Like, people hate him, but his people showed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he won the independents by 4%.
That's insane.
Last time. He lost them this time by 14% so far.
So an 18% swing so far for the independents. Yeah.
And then there are all... Now, my grandson said to me, do you know what a Karen is? And I went, no, what's a Karen?
You didn't know what a Karen is? Wow.
Well, somehow or another, it never passed through my lexicon.
Oh, no, I mean, you're not on Twitter all the time. It makes sense.
No, I'm not on Twitter. And I mean, I knew it was some kind of a dog. It's the new soccer mom thing, I suppose.
Well, it's the kind of woman who comes into a store and is horrible to the staff and demands to see the manager.
That's it. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. It's the woman that everyone in the service industry hates the most.
That's it. That's what it is.
Entitled White Ladies.
Did explain it to me.
Yeah.
My grandson did explain it to me. And then I promptly forgot it because I'm not in the service industry. I teach. You
know? Exactly.
Not my problem. But somebody, I read somebody somewhere, I think maybe the Karens actually helped Biden.
I am going to be interested to see the demographic breakdown when it's all done. Yeah.
Okay, right. It was so, but of course I turned it on. Now, mind you, I had a lot of shredding to do. So, like, I've had the TV on since 5:40 this morning because I just couldn't turn it off. Once he won, I still couldn't turn it off. It was, and I'll watch the speech tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been fascinating, kind of. except, was it what? You that said to me, well, what's going to happen to Rick Santorum? He no longer has
that's
to
what I
Trump
said.
Winster. So, yeah, you said that.
Maybe I was saying that
fired?
2 days ago. That's like, maybe they can finally fire Rick Santorum. Because, like, they don't need him to talk about Trump on TV anymore. You know, so fingers crossed. Maybe they get rid of this guy and we don't have to look at Rick Santorum ever again.
Listen to Rick Santorum again.
Yeah.
Although he did say... He did say one thing today, and I thought, you know, I do agree with you.
What's that?
And I can't remember what it was.
Well, now. Then it couldn't have been that important, could it?
Well, no, but it was some sort of statement, and it was, yeah. I mean, I like he did make sense about understanding at one level what I guess you could say needs to be done, but.
What does he say it needs to be
done? I can't remember. It may come to me while we do this and then I will break in.
No, but the thing is, I have never said Rick Santorum's a dumb man.
No.
I am sure that he is now positioning himself to be, well, I'm a reasonable, moderate Republican, right?
Yeah.
And I should be on TV and running for president in 4 years is what is going to be his act now. But never let anyone forget that Rick Santorum is the man who said that two men having sex was the same as people having sex with their dogs from a legal standpoint. Okay?
That and I think it might have been at that point, but yeah. It shouldn't have been.
But the point is, he hasn't changed his feelings about that.
Well, no, it's like the same
puts
thing.
On he puts on a reasonable Republican face, but he still hates gay people.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. He's still, and it was nothing.
Okay.
It was nothing. It wasn't a social issue thing.
Okay.
Okay. No. It was it was some procedural thing or whatever. It doesn't bear listening to because most of the time I turn him off.
Yeah. Of course. Well, how can you not? It's Rick Santorum.
I mean, it sometimes I just can't come on. And even over this, like he still thinks and he keeps going on and on about fraud and the problems that, you know, with the like towing the party line, the problems in Pennsylvania and with this.
I know,
and it turns out these ballots that they're all so concerned about.
Yeah.
So therefore most judges would just kick it out because it's not going to make any difference. Like there were about 3,000 of them.
Yeah. And Biden's winning. Yeah. There's like the ballots that are most questionable, you know, based on when they came in and whatnot, there's like 3,000 ballots and Biden's going to win the state by like 30,000 votes.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Even if every single one of those ballots had something wrong with it, it had to be thrown out, that's 10% of his victory margin. If the question ballots were all for...
And they wouldn't have all been for Biden. Because, you know, I mean, that's the funny thing. I mean, this is when I knew that there wasn't going to be a problem because, after all, we're all worry warts after...
We are. Oh, absolutely. I will
everything
happily admit
going
to that.
On. Yeah. In the last little while, we have a right to be worried. But
we come by it honestly.
Yeah, but what I thought to myself, the big thing there was when they were still counting ballots. Like in Pennsylvania, they were still counting ballots in Trump states.
Yeah.
So there were
counties.
Counties
is the word you're looking
for. Pennsylvania. There were two things in Pennsylvania that led me to go. Uh-huh.
You're very worried.
Erie, he got Erie back, Erie County back, and then, but it was this thing. They're counting ballots in Trump, where Trump has got a really, really high lead,
mm-hmm.
and Biden was still picking up more votes.
Yeah,
even in those counties. So I'm going. Okay.
He was still only Trump was still only winning them by like 55%. Even in the Trumpiest counties.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's, I mean, I'm not saying that's when you know you can relax.
Well, there were a couple
you know
where
a good
he,
feeling.
Yeah.
Where he won,
like he won a lot of Pennsylvania in some places, the rural places, but You know, that was when I sort of went, okay, so Biden is he's overperforming. He's overperforming from Hillary Clinton.
I think, and by the way, here's why I have no respect for Erie County, right? Erie, Pennsylvania. Because Trump literally came, and it's like, this is how you know you're in a cult, because you value, like, you so value the leader that even his insults taste like candy. Because this man went to Erie, Pennsylvania, and his message to the people of Erie, Pennsylvania is, what the hell am I doing in Erie, Pennsylvania?
Well,
if
yes.
this election wasn't close, I would never be here. And if I lose, you're never going to see me again. He walked into that. I'm just saying, he walked into Erie, Pennsylvania. He said that, and they still voted for him.
No, he lost Erie.
No, but anyone voted for him.
Oh, yeah, well, yes, but.
He walked in and he said, I have contempt for you. You people disgust me. And if I didn't need you, I wouldn't be here. That is what he said. And they still voted for him.
No, because that's not what they hear. What they hear is he's terribly frustrated because the media isn't treating him right.
I know.
And no, so he doesn't
that's
really.
My complaint. They live in this delusion.
Yes. He doesn't really mean it. Is what they hear.
Yes, it's the abused wife. It is the abused wife's lament.
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't really, like, he's different than you think. He's not really like
he
that.
Doesn't blah, blah, blah. Really mean what he's saying.
Yeah. No, it's
he
disgusting.
Didn't really hit me.
Yeah, it was just an accident. He got frustrated. Jesus. Yeah.
He doesn't have a job anymore.
So how long until Melania leaves him? 3 weeks,
well,
4 weeks.
How long till she leaves the White House? Why would she stick around? There's no.
I don't think. First off, I don't think she lives at the White House. I've seen zero evidence in the past 4 years that she lives there. Like I think she probably like stays at her parents' place most of the time, and just like the Secret Service sneaks her into the office on the one
when
day
she
of
has
the month
to be
she
there.
Actually has to do something. Yeah. I have seen zero evidence that she spends any significant amount of time.
Well, yeah, you don't see any of them or Barron or anything.
Or Barron, anything. No, never. Like, you never see them there. They're never with him. They, like, they're when there's a public event. Like, Sasha and Malia used to be out kicking soccer balls around the lawn all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Barron, like, I would have forgotten Trump has another kid. Trump often forgets he had another kid. Did you see the time when he was talking about how I found out that me and my beautiful, tall son both had COVID? He forgot his son's name.
Yeah, well, yes.
Met this kid?
And then there was the other daughter.
Yes, oh, poor Tiffany.
But she went out stumping for him.
I know, it was really disgusting that she
well,
went out stumping
it's just,
for him.
It's, as I said, it's her father, and unlike Giuliani's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But yeah, the way Trump treated her mother, and she still went out and stumped for him.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting. Yeah. So Tiffany Trump, not a good person.
Well, she is a Trump.
You're right. Although, honestly, you're right. I mean, she's still a Trump. So, yeah.
She's still a Trump, right?
Even if she's the least Trump of all of them, and she is. She's still a Trump.
She's still a Trump, you know?
You're right.
He was still her father.
I was naive to think that she would come out against Trump. Because for a while, I thought there was a chance she would. Because, again, what a scumbag he was, both about her and her mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just he was terrible throughout the entire... Again, this is when I was growing up in the 90s, though, so I remember all of that stuff really well.
Oh, it was, well,
it was all
terrible.
Over the news. It was all over the news. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about Trump is, and I mean, there's nothing funny about Trump, but the funny thing about Trump is, so I was thinking about this and I realized that there are two things that, that really show me, well, this is what a psychopath looks like. And one, I'm going to quote two of my favorite things, which is the reason you know he lost is best explained by a quote from the movie Manhunter. Which is when Will Graham's talking to Hannibal Lecter in that one beautiful scene. And he's like, if I'm so much, it's like, because you think about Trump having this crazy cat bird seat. All he has to do is do the, all he has to do is treat this plague seriously, and he slides into re-election with no trouble. Yeah. And he doesn't do it. And the question is, like, why not? Well, you had disadvantages. You're insane. You know? I'm like, yeah, that's the perfect thing. And I may have to make a meme of that at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is so weird. I mean, nobody could, yes, but the guys he has around him. Oh, by the way, good news.
Ooh, I love the news.
Has COVID.
Don't do that.
He does.
He does. But I'm like, Mark Fedos has COVID? That's
yes.
Insane. How? Oh, right, because they kept not taking it seriously, even after Trump got COVID.
And he would still, I saw him just a couple of weeks ago telling a reporter to take his mask. Reporter wanted him to put the mask off, and he wanted the reporter to take his mask off.
I know.
And, you know, you're politically correct or whatever, right? The reporter
These people are such scumbags.
Scumbags.
And that brings me to my second part of the story, which is Trump accidentally revealing that he's a psychopath. And that is something he kept saying over and over again on the stump, was that the minute the election's over, if Biden wins, right, suddenly the left isn't going to care about COVID anymore. They're going to all stop talking about COVID because it's not a real thing, right? And they're just making it up for the election, and they're going to stop pretending the minute the election is over. Everybody's going to be like, whoever heard of this COVID? What's COVID? Blah, 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 blah. And that's what he said. And what I thought back to was the second ever episode of Columbo, which is this wonderful episode about this evil lawyer who murders her husband to get his money, right? It's a wonderful episode. And so her stepdaughter shows up and is so frustrated because this woman so obviously killed her father, but there's no proof about it. And so Columbo and her concoct a scheme to say that... that she wants a payoff, or she's going to keep making noise about her dad getting murdered by this woman. She's going to keep causing a fuss and keep humiliating this woman in public. But she wants a payoff because Columbo knows that the only way this woman has access to free, cash, right? Quick cash, is if she uses the money she got out of a fake kidnapping, which is how she murdered her husband, by faking a kidnapping. And he's like, the only way I can do it. And there's this beautiful scene at the end of the episode where she's like, I don't understand what happens. And he's like, that's because you're a psychopath. You can't imagine that anyone's different than you. It would never occur to you that there are people out there for whom the idea to take a bribe in order to forget about their father getting murdered is something that they could never do in a million years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is that is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
For sure, in
2018,
Trump, he thinks everybody's like him.
Exactly. And the test example of it. So the way he's talking about how they're going to stop caring about COVID the minute it's over. And the reason he brings that up is because that is exactly what they did with the quote unquote migrant caravan. In 2018, and people might not remember this because it was so long, like it was a million years ago in political terms, but in 2018, all of the Republicans said that there was, 10,000 bloodthirsty criminal South and Central Americans in a giant caravan who were going to overrun America and destroy civil society. And then literally the day after the election, they all shut up about it.
Yeah.
Like the day after the election, no one remembered the caravan had happened because it was always a lie. It was always just a racist claim they were making to try and get votes. And the minute they didn't get the votes, they shut up about it because they don't really care about anything. They just pretend to get power. And that's the difference, which is the Democrats actually care about things. They actually want to accomplish things. And now that Joe Biden's the president-elect, guess what? We're still going to hear a lot about COVID because he actually cares and he actually wants to improve things. And that shouldn't be such a hard thing to understand.
Yeah, I know. But, the thing is, how do I feel? I just feel as I said, all the tension has just gone out of my body.
Yeah, just left your body.
You know, I mean, I didn't realize how tense I'd been for the last little while.
I would say 5 years, but that's last
well,
little
while. Well, yeah, you know, too. I mean, there's that. But no, I mean, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse.
No, it did.
We
it
weren't.
Did.
And then the COVID thing, I mean, there's, was without the COVID, Donald Trump would probably still be president.
Maybe. I mean, we have, and the thing is, I do understand why you're saying that, but I think it's safe to say that we have, COVID has so transformed America this year that we can't really say what the election campaign would have looked like COVID hadn't happened. You're right that maybe he would have taken it all, but I don't know that we can say that for sure.
Well, he might have had a tight run, but for example, okay, here's one of the situations.
Please.
For the example, it's Wisconsin.
Okay.
Turned against him, right? Like really turned against him.
I saw that.
But why? Why? Because they've got
so many cases.
Tents. They've set up field hospitals because they've got so many cases of COVID, and Donald Trump is walking around saying it's no big deal.
It's a hoax.
Right? It's a hoax and there's no big deal. Well, once it's that big, and Detroit went through it as well, on top of everything else. I mean, what you have to do is give credit to all the organizers and all of the people that went and just kept pushing.
Oh, yeah. To make sure people got out.
They voted, turned
in their ballots because didn't mail them. Because it's like everyone's supposed to do mail-in ballots. Oh, well, Trump destroyed the post office to keep mail-in ballots from being a thing. So everyone managed to turn on a dime and start just handing in their ballots.
Yeah, they could, because they had those, where was it, one place? You could see he was standing sort of near one of the ballot, like the ballot boxes where people drop in their ballots, right?
Yeah.
The legal ones.
Mm-hmm.
You could just watch the people just sort of almost, you know, every 30 seconds or so, somebody would show up to drop in a ballot. There was no lineup or anything, right?
No,
it was just
fantastic.
Just like a mailbox. And
and
then somebody would come out of the office and pick them out of it. And
take them out periodically and then put them in the safe inside. And then, it's fantastic.
You know, it was funny, but I mean, the other thing, shall we talk about the other thing? Do we?
What's the other thing?
Oh, no. While we're just talking about this, I still think the funniest thing that I heard was Boris Johnson.
Oh, yes. Boris Johnson coming out and congratulating Biden.
He was the first.
Yeah. First world leader.
And he
was.
But it wasn't just. He tweeted. Right.
Oh, he tweeted. Okay.
Yeah. Biden apparently hasn't taken any calls today.
Oh, nice. Very classy.
He's going to give his speech
and
tonight
then
at
he'll
8 o'clock.
Talk to people. Yeah.
Okay. Now, he probably needs to sleep some too. Now that it's all over, I'm sure he feels like we do.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's over.
Thank God.
Kamala Harris looked happy.
Oh, no, yeah, I saw her.
We did it. But Boris Johnson sent out this tweet saying that he was looking forward to working with President-elect Biden on things like climate change and the COVID and trade and all sorts of things. Like it was like, oh, thank God that asshole's gone.
Absolutely. But he's in this weird bind, right? Where he really needs to kiss up to Biden, right? Because they are having all of these economic problems because they can't make deals with Europe anymore because of this idiotic Brexit nonsense.
Yeah.
Right. So they're having all of these economic problems. And he was kind of counting on America plugging that, you know, trade leak, plugging that trade leak. But if, you know, Trump is so crazy.
Erratic.
And so erratic. Yeah. Like you can't be guaranteed that what he says 1 second is going to be true or his position the next second. And so now if he can get in good with Joe Biden, he'll have a stable partner for this stuff.
Yes, exactly. No, that's exactly what's happening. As I said, it was like the call with Bibi. Netanyahu.
The funniest thing, though, right before the election? Where like Bibi Netanyahu is like, whoever wins, we're going to work with them.
Yeah, like, and then there was SmackDown. Oh, yeah. And then there was, so then they talked to Susan Rice at one point, and of course Jake asked her, "Well, yeah, are you going to have a role?" "No, Jake, just don't ask me things like that,
it's
Jake.
A little
come on,
early to start doing that.
Well, let's just be happy today."
Yep.
And he says, she's, and of course she said the thing, if I'm asked to serve, of course I'd be happy to serve. But, you know, now
we're not putting the cart before the horse here.
No. And it turns out he sort of asked her questions about how Trump doesn't want to leave and the rest of it. And she just says, well, she said, you know, she says, by the time 2 months are gone, she says, the world will have passed him by.
Oh, yeah. Everyone will, like, all of the world leaders, everybody's just going to be talking to Biden from now on.
Yeah.
Like, he is a lame duck in the worst sense.
It's been so erratic over the last 4 years. They've never, you know, no stability, no nothing. So they'll just wait another 2.5 months.
So did you see, I saw the funniest thing today, which was, I don't remember whether it was the, whether it was Rupert Murdoch putting out a thing, or they had Fox say it, or maybe it was, you know, the Daily Mail in London, but they were saying how Trump is important, right? And Trump is, if he treats the transition with dignity, right? And he just, like, shuts up and accepts that he's lost and goes away with some dignity, like every other president in history before him has, then he will have an important role to play as a kingmaker in the Republican Party, because the Republican Party, you know, still, they all love him and blah, 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 blah. And as I'm sitting there watching this speech go out, reading this speech, I'm like, do you think Donald Trump, like, could endorse someone? Do you think a world exists when Donald Trump gets up there and says, I think someone other than me should be the president of the United States?
No.
He's not capable of that.
No, he's talking about running in 2024.
Hey, that's my point. Yeah. Of course he wants to run in 2020. He could never get out of the way. He is constitutionally incapable of getting over himself.
Yeah.
Like, it can't happen.
Yeah. So what's going to happen? I mean, the thing is, before we talk, this should be about the point for a mid-roll.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be back in a minute to talk about more election issues.
Yeah.
But now enjoy these ads that now go up in the middle of the show. Yeah. If there are any, sometimes there aren't. This is going to be a weird interlude if there aren't any ads. But we'll see you back here right after these messages. And we're back for more, I don't want to call it gloating, because I don't really feel like we are gloating. I feel like we're just relieved, you know?
Well, no, we're just relieved. And I mean, I have mixed feelings about, for example, all those people at the White House who have basically started looking for other work. Right?
What do you mean?
Well, the people who work for Trump.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, they should never be able to get a job the rest of their lives.
Well, no, I mean, that's the big problem, is that they're sort of sitting there. Normally, you know, you get to go and get a job and stuff like that afterwards.
You start being
these people are going, where are we going?
Who's
going
to hire me? Yeah. Who would hire someone who worked for Donald Trump?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, they've made themselves
Fox will hire.
Some of them, yeah.
Fox will hire McEnany, Doc.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you know, there's no. I don't think there's any question about that. But it's like, where's Stephen Miller going to get a job? You know, he's literally like a Nazi who goes around trying to find the best ways to harm anyone who isn't white. Like, how can I do the most damage to people who aren't white? That's his whole life. Where is he going to get a job?
And then there's, if there are some good things about that, for example, Twitter has banned, what's his face? Breitbart guy.
Steve Bannon.
Thank you.
Yes, for saying that they should cut off people's heads and mount them on pikes.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve. So they literally closed down his Twitter account.
Thank God. Next, you know, that they should ban Donald Trump. He's not the president anymore. He's not entitled to communicate with the American people anymore. And Trump has been violating their terms of service. Like, again, any people have done experiments and just tweeted exactly what Donald Trump tweets every day and had their accounts get closed. So it's not like Trump is entitled to have a Twitter account.
No, technically he's president until January the 20th.
And that's what I'm saying. January 21st, job one, Jack Dorsey is delete his Twitter account and ban him from ever being on Twitter again. He's not the president anymore. He no longer has the right to communicate directly with the American people. People don't have to listen to Trump anymore.
No.
So the first thing they should do is ban him from Twitter.
Well, it depends on what he says.
No, but he's already said. That's the point. Like, all of the stuff he said would already have gotten him banned if he wasn't president, right? And but he's not president anymore. Those tweets are still there, so ban him for them.
Well, close down that account and tell him he has to start open up a new account. And of course, he won't. But
no, of course,
it's okay.
No. He'll just whine about, you know, oh, the tech people are censoring me, blah, 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 blah. Because Trump has the only one gear, just whining. That's all he can do.
Well, I wonder what he's going to do after he's done.
Probably flee to Russia. Because he has a lot of crimes he's committed. And I just want to remind everybody, it sounds like I'm being, you know, fantastical and whatnot. He is under, there is an open subpoena for him to get indicted for the Michael Cohen election fraud crap. That's just sitting there. He was an unindicted co-conspirator, and he was, and he wasn't unindicted because they didn't have evidence. He was unindicted because he's the president.
Yeah.
In 70 days, he's not the president anymore, and that indictment's sitting there ready to go.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got a lot of thinking to do once he gets over being angry.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a bad time to be Donald Trump. I mean, from an emotional and global look at it situation, it's always a bad time to be Donald Trump. He's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And is a terrible, deeply unhappy person, right? It's never good to be Donald Trump, but it's an especially bad time to be Donald Trump right now. When does he start just pardoning people?
I have no idea. Like, everybody's sort of sitting there. Well, what the hell is he going to do now?
Pardon everybody.
You know, and do a whole bunch of other things. And God only knows.
Jared Kushner, like,
depends.
Conspired with the head, like, committed espionage. Like, he handed over American intelligence secrets to MBS for cash for his businesses. He did that. We know he did that. There's evidence that he did that. And you can say that, and unless Trump is willing to come forward and say, I, the president, declassified that information and told him to give it to MBS, he committed espionage against the United States. And do you see Trump coming forward and saying, as president, I declassified that to help out Jared Kushner?
Oh.
No, he wouldn't do that. He would just pardon him for the espionage.
Anyway, it's like right now, to quote Susan Rice, yes, we can be happy about this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I am happy. I am curious to see when the pardons start coming down, right? Because let's not forget, his attorney general is literally the guy who arranged all of the pardons for Iran-Contra and what was the other thing? Oh, right. All of those selling illegal weapons to Iraq that Bush 1 did, right? So he's the one who pardoned.
And Reagan. Remember, the Iran-Contra was under Reagan.
Oh, no, no. But I mean, at the same time, there was this big deal with them having sold a bunch of weapons illegally to Iraq to fight that war. That's how Iraq had chemical weapons. And it's like, all of that stuff, everybody could have gone to jail, including George H.W. Bush. But, you know, William Barr wrote all the memos and set up the pardon apparatus for every single one of them to get pardoned. And that's what Bush did on his way out the door at the beginning of 1993.
Which is why we still have Ollie North rolling around.
I know! Man should have been in jail for the rest of his life, and instead he's like, when there was a TV show where he was like just the bad guy on a TV show. You remember that?
Didn't last very long. No, it wasn't Ollie.
That wasn't Ollie. That was J. Gordon Liddy. Sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
I got confused. Oliver North was in a Call of Duty game playing himself.
Yes, that was it. And he was, but he also went off.
Popular radio show host, yeah.
Yeah, and he became, you know, this. Anyway.
Right wing radio show host. Well, the fun thing about the Call of Duty is, I mean, that's these war games. They are crazy right wing. Like, people talk about not wanting their games to be political, but only right wing people say that. And I'm like, yeah, that's because the air you breathe is political, but it's all on your side.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is literally a game series where the new one, Cold War, is literally about, like, Russia's plans to culturally weaken America via Marxism to take over, like, to, and like, the characters are working for Ronald Reagan to heroically stop it. Like, that is what happens when you don't, you know, hold people accountable for their crimes. You know, and that's why, yeah, Trump's going to pardon everybody, but they've got to do whatever they can. I don't know if it's they got to jail anybody he doesn't pardon. They got to do a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to find out all of the crimes that were happening in the Trump White House, whether people get arrested for it or not, because every single one of these guys was corrupt.
Yeah, well, there's going to be some talking, and there's going to be some things to do, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. The Senate still is not, we don't know what's going to happen with the Senate.
No, we don't. And I mean, Georgia's going to have, what, it's two runoffs in Georgia?
Yeah.
Two runoffs are going to happen the same day.
Yeah. And Ossoff pushed,
yeah,
pushed Perdue below 50%.
It's amazing. Like, I'm so blown away when that happened. So the question is, can they get enough funding? And it's like, because these are going to be the only two things people are talking about for all of January. So,
well, January,
they...
all of December.
Oh, yeah, all of December, because it happens right at the start of January.
Well, I told you, that was, John King was funny. He said, well, maybe we should go buy a TV station in Georgia.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be so much money going into Georgia.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's a license to print money. Every ad break is going to be like just six political ads. But anyway, the funny part is, right, so it could be 50-50 in the Senate, and then Kamala Harris, in addition to being the first female vice president, the first non-white vice president, she would also become, if it gets 50-50, the most important vice president in history, because she would be there on the Senate floor every single day breaking every tie.
Yeah.
That would be so great to watch.
Yeah, well,
I would love
in
that.
Our dream world, well, as you know,
I'm not
as somebody now,
happen,
but, now then somebody else said, though, this was another,
please,
that possibly if, because they're all afraid of the Democratic left, extreme left, right?
As if there's an extreme left in America.
Well, yeah, but I mean, having basic
The Democratic Socialists of America, you know, the boogeymen, are significantly to the right of Canada's NDP.
Yeah.
Let's stop living in a fantasy world
where
there's such a thing as a political left in America.
Well, yeah, from our perspective,
from
okay?
The world's perspective.
Well, yes, except not from America's.
No,
but
from
they're
only.
Exceptional.
That's true.
They're exceptional. And that's why. So anyway, right?
But you were saying,
you know, so I don't know who said this, was that, well, yeah, but you know, it would be better if the Senate was still Republican, because then that would be easier for Joe Biden
to shut down all of the
center.
Yeah,
oh, because then he would have an excuse. And I'm listening to this and I'm going, well, I guess we'll still have things to talk about, but
yeah, there's a lot of idiots. I mean, for the love of God, the Independent in UK said that in order to heal the nation, this is the op-ed they published, meaning it was already written, expecting a Biden victory, and they were just waiting to hit send.
Yeah.
Their editorial was, well, Biden really needs to pardon Trump to heal the nation. As if letting a criminal get away with crimes will somehow make things better.
Well, it didn't work with Nixon in terms of the long term. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. But the problem is it doesn't matter because he can only pardon Trump for federal crimes.
It's true. There's so many other crimes Trump can be charged.
And he's and there's a whole bunch of stuff on the books in New York. Yes. There's a whole bunch of things in New York that, I mean, Trump's been trying to get the DOJ to step in and take over. He wanted them to take over the prosecution.
The defamation case. Yeah, they have the Department of... Yes, Trump raped a woman. She reported it. He publicly called her, like, ugly and a liar on TV. She sued him for defamation. And his position, and Bill Barr's position was, well, when he said that she was, you know, a liar and too ugly to rape on TV, he was acting as the president. So really, she should be suing the United States government. That was Bill Barr's position, that he was acting as president when he said a woman was too ugly for him to have raped. This is the state America has descended to. And that story that I just said, that 100% true story, that got lost in the election because everything else was so crazy this whole year.
Yeah, well, as I said, I mean, yeah, I mean, and I mean, I was watching Biden and I knew exactly what Biden was doing and he was right. Like, I mean, there were all these complaints I would listen to CNN, but well, yeah, but he's not coming out and this is probably a mistake and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, well, first of all, if he's not out there very much, there's no fodder for Trump.
Yeah.
That's every number time, one.
I know the Basement Joe stuff sucked and it stung, but it was smart. And you're right, because anything he went out and said and did, they like the crazy conspiracy theorists on that side would have, you know, just jumped all over it.
Anything. If he'd misspoken a word.
Yeah, they would say, oh, well, obviously he has dementia and needs to be hospitalized. If he had misspoken once. He gave Trump, I know it seems like a crazy plan, but it worked. He gave Trump nothing to push against. And so we all just got to watch Trump flail insanely for 2 months leading up to the election. And then, oh, by the way, Trump got COVID during that period.
Yeah. He got over COVID. Everybody can get over COVID.
Oh, how insane. Tell that
to, I don't know how many. There's at least
dead people.
Yeah, 250,000 dead and rising.
Rising very quickly, because guess what? America's now seeing, like, they've had now a week of 100,000 plus new infections a day.
Yeah, and you're getting all of these. Well, yeah, well, you had all those people from. Yeah. Well, once you stop the rallies and once you stop the things.
Is he going to stop the rallies? Is he going to stop the rallies? Or is he going to get out there and keep rallying?
Who knows?
He's desperate for attention. He needs he needs external validation because he's incapable of liking and himself.
As Susan Rice said, yes, well, the world's just going to pass him by.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody's going to cover his rallies. They're not going to be on the news, because why would they be? He's not the president anymore.
Yeah, well, and not only that, I mean, some stations stopped running rallies a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. No, now they pretty much only show. New. Oh, no.
Except for, I don't know if Fox runs his rallies.
I would have to check that, but I think almost everyone only shows clips now.
Yeah, and because only if he says the same things all the time.
It's the exact same speech every time. He goes up, he complains about toilets that don't flush well enough. You know, he says Joe Biden's crazy, and then he just moves on to the next town. And by the way, like, I there's so many Trump stories that you wish would get more traction. The man, like, three different times stranded people at a freezing airport.
That was unbelievable.
Three times!
And I'm sitting there going, and did you guys actually go and vote for Trump?
Yeah, they did. Well, the ones who lived. I'm kidding. Nobody died from hypothermia.
Well,
I'm
not, there were people in hospital.
None of them have died yet people who went to those rallies will be dying of COVID. It is a non-zero number of people who have already died of COVID.
when these lawyers went before a judge, I guess in Pennsylvania, to complain about how, or somewhere, to complain about how they didn't have any watchers.
Yeah, poll watchers.
Poll watchers, right? And so the judge wanted to see the proof, and he said to the lawyer, so how many did you have, how many poll watchers were at that particular place?
Yeah.
And the lawyer actually said that. He said, well, there were not none.
It was a non-zero amount.
Yes, as lawyers who understand double negatives, right? Yeah. And the judge threw it out. I mean,
oh God, yeah,
because they're only allowed one.
Yeah, exactly.
You have one Democrat.
You're guaranteed at least one, and then in some places you can have more. In some places,
you can. Yeah, if it's
but you're
big
always
enough.
Allowed at least one. And then the judge hears, "Well, there was somebody there. Well, then you weren't kept from poll watching, were you?"
No,
Jesus Christ.
Right? There was because then a Democrat and usually an independent.
Yeah. And what I thought was funny, right?
And these things, like I couldn't believe this. You can actually, I guess, go and watch the feeds.
Oh, yeah.
You could actually sit and watch people opening ballots because.
Yeah. Sorry, not the voting. Places. Yeah. Yeah.
They opening the ballots and then pulling them out and then putting them in the piles and watch them pounding.
I actually saw some footage of it. Yeah.
Oh,
so many places live streamed the whole count to show that nothing suspicious was going on.
Yeah. You know, people were very, you know, it was like, no, I'm going to show you. Yeah. So I don't know how Arizona or anything is gone.
It doesn't matter how Arizona's gone. He won Nevada and he won Pennsylvania. It's over. Mm-hmm. He had Michigan last week, you know, like it's, he had Michigan the second day. You know, you add that to these two and it's over. Like he might win. He could still win Georgia. We don't know. He could still, you know, he could still win Arizona. We don't know, but it's over. Yeah. And thank God for that.
Yeah.
You know,
he has 279 electoral votes.
Yeah, and that's all he needs. And that could kick up to 300. It'd be great if it did. I don't honestly care about the number as long as he wins, but it could kick up to 300 and he could beat Donald Trump by the same amount of Electoral College votes that Trump beat Hillary Clinton, which would be very fun.
Well, what's really interesting is that those two Georgia Senate seats are going to determine who has control of the Senate.
Yeah. It's very intriguing.
But what, like, they're right now at 48-48.
Yeah.
So one goes Democrat, one goes Republican. That's 49-49. Where's the other one, I wonder? I don't remember.
There's the other two. There's two independents. One of them is Bernie Sanders, and I don't remember who the other one is, but they each caucus with the other side.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why you need the two votes to go one way.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because technically they both, I think one of them is Bernie. I don't think he actually turned into a Democrat. But the point is,
whoever
it is, there are still two independents in the Senate who still have their seats. And that's why it'll end up being 49-49 if they each win one.
Yeah, so Biden's still winning in Arizona.
Nice.
Yeah, and of course still in Georgia.
Oh, of course.
They called Nevada. That's why
that's what I was saying. That's why we're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they called Nevada.
It's
very exciting.
Yeah, you know, you're just sort of watching this and going, okay, so there are the...
I relaxed a little. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you can, you know, attest to this because I talked to you about it. I relaxed a little on Wednesday once it became clear that, no, it wasn't over. Trump hadn't won. And all of the absentee ballots in Pennsylvania were from Biden-favored counties. So once I heard that, I'm like, okay, this is probably going to go well. And I was, you know, battening myself down for a month-long court battle, just like Bush v. Gore again.
Yeah.
But then instead, just three days later, no, there's so many ballots that no recount could overturn it, and no throwing out question ballots could overturn it. It's over.
Yeah, only
that
in Georgia.
That made me so happy. Yeah, only in Georgia is there any question.
Well, there's 7,547.
Really?
That's the difference between Biden and Trump.
Yeah, that's not big.
So what Stacey Abrams said was, revenge is a dish best served blue.
Oh,
isn't that cute?
I like her so much. Yeah. Such a big fan of Stacey Abrams.
Yeah.
One of those people that I'm just now always happy to see on the talking head shows, you know? I just like hearing her check in because, again, she does a great job of explaining this. And she has an authenticity to her. Like, she is just, she really doesn't seem like a partisan hack. She really seems like the, how she is positioned in the media and how she honestly seems is like the inheritor to the legacy of the Freedom Riders, of the people who are out there just fighting for votes, fighting for the franchise, fighting for allowing people to have their voices heard. Yeah, she's a Democrat. She wants Democrats to win. But she's, what she's out there fighting for is everybody getting a say in the process.
Yeah.
She's not out there fighting for Democrats, even though that's what she's wants. She's fighting for the electoral process. She's fighting for democracy. And that's why she seems so great. And so, yeah, I hope she gets some higher office someday. Like, I hope she can get that governorship back next time.
Yeah.
When she's up against the guy who stole the election from her last time.
Oh, well.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that needs to get done, so I don't know if that's the priority. But I'm optimistic for the first time in 5 years. I know that things actually can get better for the first time in 5 years, because they've got better. Trump lost, and every time he goes on TV and lashes out like a whiny baby, it just makes that loss more severe, right? Every time he goes out there and just complains about how he was cheated, how it's all a fraud, blah, 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 it makes him look worse and Biden look better. Because everyone knows in their heart, if Biden had somehow lost, he would have been out there saying, we wanted to fight for this country, but the most important thing is the peaceful
transition.
You know, transition of power. And then he would have, left.
Yeah.
Just like Hillary Clinton did.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton didn't fight the election in court. She didn't go around whining and blah. She made a phone call the night of, right? The same night she conceded and she went away. She wasn't happy about it, but she did what you do. And Trump is the first president, maybe ever, to not do what you're supposed to do. And again, it's historically hard for a president to lose re-election. In the history of America, right, this is the 10th time it's ever happened. Not counting people who died or retired, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is only the 10th time the president has ever lost re-election. And it's like before, and it mostly happens to, Republicans recently. But it's like George Bush, Gerald Ford. It happened to Jimmy Carter, although I think we know there's a real story there. But before that, who did it? What was it? It was Hoover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before that, it was Herbert Hoover, which is in a way kind of the best comparison for this, because just like Herbert Hoover completely mismanaging the Great Depression is the closest recent historical, and I say recent, it's the 1930s, but recent asterisk comparison to how badly Trump has botched the coronavirus. Like, I would say it's the closest historical analog to that.
Yeah, it is. And people have talked about that being the closest thing. It's you misread. And that meant Franklin Delano Roosevelt had 4 terms.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Like, he got it so wrong that the Democrat managed to go for 4 terms.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Died
in the fourth. Literally right after inauguration. He won that 4th term and then he died just right away.
Yeah, and then Truman took over. So.
And, well, that was a problem in and of itself. Hey, he won the war against Japan. Like, the war against Germany had already been won. But he did win the war against Japan. I won't claim he didn't.
Nope.
But yeah, that was a... what a mess that was. Anyway, that must have been a weird day for Truman, though. Like, walking into the Oval Office, right? His first day as president, then having a guy walk in and it's like, oh, by the way, nuclear weapons are real. We have this bomb that can destroy the world, maybe. And that would have been the first time he heard about it.
Yeah.
Just FYI, we have a bomb that can destroy the world. Just, for later. Anyway, it's honestly, I'm happy. I'm not going to pretend I'm not happy. I'm happy. Trump has been repudiated, right? Like, he has been the Trumpism itself is calling into question. And yes, I think the people I'm worried about now are the Trump cultists, right?
Yeah.
And like, what are they going to do now that it turns out QAnon wasn't real? You know? Now that Trump never actually, because their whole cosmology of the how the world worked was Trump is secretly working with the U.S. military to get rid of all of the satanic pedophiles. And any day now, there's going to be a big roundup of all the celebrities and all the Democrats who were actually secret pedophiles this whole time. And they've been waiting for any day now for 3.5 years. And now Trump just lost the election and it never happened. And I really worry, like, I'm afraid for their, I'm afraid of, honestly, suicides. I'm afraid that this is the kind of thing where they're going to, I mean, some of them are just going to join white supremacist militias. That's just, you know, duh. Obviously, that's where that whole narrative was always going, was towards white supremacist militias. But, like, the borderline people, the people who were there because they were depressed, the people who were there because they had underlying mental conditions, what happens when their worldview gets erased so as brutally as it's going to get erased now, you know? That's the people I'm scared for. And I hope they find help. And the other people I'm scared for is all of the people in Trump country who are going to die this winter because they don't take the plague seriously.
Yep.
Because there's a plague going on and their president told them not to take it seriously and they believed him. And that's where these hundreds of thousands of cases are happening. They're happening in middle America. They're happening in Trump country. Like, New York is stable. The Pacific, California, Pacific Northwest are relatively stable. You know, like, yeah. It's Trump country that's going to suffer this winter, and I'm really scared for them. Because how do you turn that around? Because by politicizing the plague, he created this insane system with a perverse incentive so that, like, you show your fealty to your leader by not defending your life. You know? And that's pretty terrifying.
Well, COVID deaths have topped 1,000 a day.
For how long?
For the last 4 days. 4,000 people have died in the last 4 days.
Oh my God.
1,140 on Friday. Yeah.
This is why I don't feel great about gloating. I mean, I want to gloat, right? Because I'm happy he's going away and I want him to go to jail and everything, right? Like, I want him to go away. I want him to go to jail. Yeah, I'm like, it's quite reasonable, I think. The things I want are for him to suffer the consequences of his actions. And I don't think it's, how shall I put this, you know, like, I don't think it's controversial to ask that a man be forced to suffer the consequences of his actions, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are all these people who are going to die because they believed him. And that makes me truly, truly sad and worried for these people.
Well, as of Saturday morning, more than 9.7 million cases have been recorded in the U.S.
And I know that it's literally because these people don't watch the news. Like, they don't watch.
Well, they watch the news. Fox.
Yeah, but that's not news. It's propaganda.
No, I know.
Like, it's state television.
You know? I know.
Like, that is just where you get your dispatches from, the glorious leader.
Yeah.
You know, that's all Trump TV is now, you know?
Yeah.
And my question becomes, like, so all of these people, now that Trump's gone, now it's not political to be against the plague anymore. They're suddenly going to find out that the plague is real and their loved ones didn't have to die. And I'm hoping that it's not too little too late. I'm hoping that enough of them have time to turn it around and start taking it seriously, that America doesn't have 500,000 dead people before Inauguration Day.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that it's obviously bad in Michigan. Well, yeah, I hadn't mentioned this, right? We now have 47. We've had, all told, throughout the thing,
really?
But we've had 3 new cases since November 2nd. But the public health unit put out an advisory about cross-border travel into Michigan, Chippewa County. Finally, well, no, I mean, for the longest time, it was like us. And then it just started to go crazy a couple of months ago. And what you can do now on the Algoma Public Health, you can actually go, they have a link to Michigan's.
Right.
And Michigan, you can look at Michigan because they have it county by county.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. County by county. And so you can just go on to
and you can make educated decisions about where to travel if you have to visit family or go down there for some reason. That's fantastic.
Marquette was always the worst place. And then
all
of a sudden, and Chippewa County wasn't all that bad. And then all of a sudden it's just raised. I said, well, I'm sure that some of those people went to Trump rallies. And
oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Let's not forget about Sturgis. The giant biker rally
that
people went to and all got COVID and then spread it throughout the entire American Midwest.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of the stuff that's going on in Michigan now is down to that Sturgis rally.
Yeah. Anyway, it's, so I had looked at it. I haven't looked at it recently, but once they have an advisor.
But I guess
our borders are not opening at the end of November.
No. God, no.
I think what I would
like everyone to do is, what's going to happen is the American right wing is going to try to come back by saying this was all just Trump. He was an aberration, right?
Oh, yeah.
And don't let them do that because they were all on Trump's side. They all got in line behind Trump.
Well, apparently, though, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're looking at it from the outside and think that that's what's going to go happening.
They might not. They might not.
But they might not, because what some of them are really afraid of is that there are still all of those people left over who can all of a sudden, when they have, you know, they have to have their nominations.
Of course, yeah.
And the rest of it, right? And so they can have challengers and these Trump people.
The primary.
For heaven's sakes, there is now a member of the House who is a QAnon follower.
Yep. And there's another one who's a literal Nazi.
So, you know, I mean, so these people are around and they're not going away.
I think they might both be from North Carolina, because apparently North Carolina just sucks. I had no idea.
Because Stephen Colbert is from South Carolina, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
But North Carolina, it's a surprise. I guess people were kind of surprised that it ended up in,
being as close as it did.
The Carolinas. The Carolinas are. It's the good old boys.
It's true,
and it always was. And now, I mean, they've been massively. It's not like the U.S. didn't have a problem with these people before.
Yeah, Trump. No.
It's just that Donald Trump,
by being so openly a fascist and openly racist, he gave all of the Nazis in America something to coalesce around, which they never had.
Well, before. Yeah, not only coalesce, but he gave them permission to be who they were.
Oh, absolutely, openly. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's what I mean by coalesce. Like, he's like, he put out a big spotlight in a field and say, all right, all you Nazis line up under the spotlight. Right. Yeah. And suddenly the Nazis found it fine to get up there during the start. And I know some people think it's extreme for me to refer to them as Nazis. I know that. But first off, the guy who won in North Carolina, the 25-year-old, like, literally went on vacation at age 22 to see the eagle's nest, and in tweets about it referred to Hitler as the Führer. So no, he is an actual Nazi. Yeah. But the point is, the reason I use the term Nazi colloquially whenever I'm talking about any fascist is because it puts the right idea into their head, because fascists are all the same, right? Like, it doesn't matter if they're Italian fascists, Brazilian fascists, German fascists, or yes, American fascists. They're all the same thing, which is just a bunch of people who don't believe in anything except that this one guy should be in charge of us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it is an ideology without an ideology. Like, they're not for anything. They're just for us being in power. They don't have things they believe in. They don't have things they want to achieve. That's why the Republican Party no longer has a platform. Because they're not for anything. They're just for, we want the power. Like, you can say what the Democrats are for. They're for healthcare. They're for the environment. They're for workers' rights. They're for women's rights. Like, you can say that. What's the Republican Party for? And the Republican Party is for whatever Donald Trump says the Republican Party is for, and that's it. You know, and that's why the term Nazi is so helpful, because all of these guys are the same. It is always the same death cult of personality around a single straw man who's going to bring back the country to how it used to be back when things were good and women knew their place. That's what all fascists are, right? Because, I mean, it is misogyny as a political philosophy in a very real way. And if you just call them Nazis, then people can wrap their head around it rather than having to get into the details. Oh, well, how exactly is a Trumpist different from a Mussoliniist, is different from a Hitlerist? Yeah, there are some tiny differences, but they agree way more than they differ. And that's what you have to keep in mind. And since Nazis are the most famous examples of fascist, it's easiest to just call these people Nazis, because that's what they are. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'm looking.
I know. It's very convenient. I was playing Sniper Elite on stream a while ago, and people were like, stop calling them Nazis. They're Italians. And I'm like, you think there's any difference?
What did you think the Italian under Mussolini were?
Do you think it's any different from Hitler? Mussolini? Come on. No, I'll call them whatever I want. They're Nazis.
Anyway, yeah.
It's funny. So
yeah.
Please continue.
I know.
Chippewa.
No, I was just going to say Chippewa County has 91 per 100,000 cases. Sault Ste. Marie, well, Algoma District has 1.7 cases per 100,000 people. And so Chippewa County, which has 37,349 people, has the same rate of cases as Peel.
Wow.
Which is north of Toronto.
I know where Peel is, but yeah. Wow.
94
have it.
Peel has 94.2 cases per 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Toronto's less than that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, Ontario has 42.9 cases per 100,000 people.
Okay. Good to know that's where the numbers are. All right, so
yeah.
I think we're going to call it here. Dear, for those Americans listening, I just, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for getting rid of this guy. I genuinely appreciate it. And if there's anything I can do for you, you just let me know. But for right now, like, we are going to soon be living in a world, and try to wrap your head around this, where you don't have to hear what Donald Trump says every day.
Yeah, what Donald Trump tweeted every Even if it takes, he probably won't even show up at the inauguration.
It wouldn't surprise me. And I think, America, do you know what you can do now? It's going to be a bit of a hassle, but here's something you can do now to make everybody feel better about themselves in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can make Joe Biden's inauguration the most attended in-person inauguration in the history of inaugurations. I know you were more excited about Obama, and you were right, but just imagine if Joe Biden, of all people, gets the biggest inauguration ever just because people all are there to party about the fact that Trump's leaving.
Well,
tell me
no,
that
and
wouldn't
then,
be
yeah.
the best thing that could ever happen. Of course it is. That would be fantastic.
Oh, that's funny. Yes.
That would be the best thing to have possibly happened. So I'm just saying, consider that. All right. So we're going to go now. If you have any questions for us, if you have any comments, if you'd like to talk about what you were doing when you found out Trump wasn't president anymore, drop us a line at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We're going to see you back here on Thursday. For more Criminal Minds episodes. And now that we've de-stressed, we're finally going to watch The Alienist. So yeah. That's probably going to be Tuesday next week, is Alienist Season 2. Like, it came out 2 weeks ago, and we've just been too stressed to watch it. Like,
oh, yeah, and we haven't done it.
I can't watch 8 hours about children getting murdered in New York right now.
No. Like, and Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah.
Exactly. And Teddy Roosevelt, we need the election to be over first.
We haven't even done, we're still like three Criminal Minds wrap up
episodes. Right?
I just said we can't do them anymore because we screwed up one, have to redo it. Another one we forgot to tape, so we just stopped.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, no, it's, until the election is over,
we're not going to be able to focus on anything new.
Nah.
But the funny part is, and everybody get excited for Style Section, the Wise Guy podcast, which is what Profound Criminal Minds is turning into after season 15, because I just recently watched, I mean, it was Halloween, so I watched Rocky Horror, and I'm like, that Tim Curry is one of the greatest performers to have ever performed. God,
yes. And we can all do the time warp now.
Exactly. We can all do the time warp again. It's right there in the song. So we'll see you. We'll see you here on Thursday for a new episode of Criminal Minds.
And everybody go. We didn't tell anybody what to watch, but we're all going to watch Joe Biden. Hopefully, when you listen to this, you will have watched.
You will have watched the Joe Biden speech.
But if you need to watch something and you forgot to do it over Halloween, please go watch Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, just prepare and join to be
us in doing. Join us in doing the time warp.
Yeah. Just it's delightful. It is as delightful as a movie can be.
Watching Sarandon.
I know. So we'll see you back here.
Meatloaf.
I know. We'll see you back here next week for our post, I wonder what the world looks like now wrap up. But until then, I'm going to say au revoir.
And have a good week.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.